Good morning, saints. It's great to see you today, this wet day. Bless you for coming out. We don't get intimidated by some thunderstorms, do we? That's right. Let me open us with prayer. Then I want to introduce to you our guest speakers today. The Lord be with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you above all. We thank you that you've adopted us as your own sons and daughters. And as such, we're gathered here today, coming to your table, but also sharing in family fellowship here. We thank you for that. And this morning, Lord, we thank you for our sister, Julie, and our brother, Ross, as they share ministries that are important to them, that they're involved in. And Lord, may we be inspired ourselves in whatever way that you would desire to move us, that we would go deeper with you and ourselves serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, anoint them both as they share with us and open our ears and hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Julie Taylor here is on my left. Long time. Well, she's been my sister longer than I even knew her. Because in Christ we are. I first met her when I was at St. John's. The Lord called me there, and she's a daughter of that parish. Steve and Kathy Taylor are her folks, and they're sitting right up here. We thank the Lord for them and their faithfulness, and from them has come a daughter by God's grace who is serving quite sacrificially. Of course, when she's serving sacrificially, so are they. When your child goes off into mission, it's gratifying that the Lord's hand is on them, but also you miss them, and you have to hold that value of the kingdom to come. And so may the Lord anoint and bless that whole family. I'll let Julie share her story with you, but the Lord has called her into something new here recently. And then Ross is going to share. Ross has been involved in prison ministry, and he has some things to share with you about that too. So we're just really grateful for them. Julie, here you go, girl.
Thank you. Good morning. Well, it's really a blessing and an honor to be with y'all this morning and just have an opportunity to share. Christ Our King Church and many of you as individuals have helped support me over the years and prayed for me, given funds to help me serve with Crew. And so it's always a blessing to be here at church, and I'm glad to be able to share a little bit this morning. I know we all serve in different ways, and so I'll just share a little bit about the ways that God has called me. So Father Chuck asked me to share three things this morning, a little bit about how I was called into vocational ministry or missions and where that's led me over the years, and then about the current work that I'm doing now. So the call to ministry or missions vocationally for me, I think two things really. One was going to Christian camps growing up. That was a really meaningful, those were really meaningful times for me, experiencing God in the outdoors and having the Christian witness of the counselors around me, showing godly character, helping me learn how to spend time with God, to pray and read the word. And I think in middle school and high school, I really thought I might be a Young Life leader or a camp counselor. And but then as I got into college, I went on a backpacking trip to Europe. And I believe God used that, too, to really open my eyes to different cultures and countries. And really, before that, I didn't have any interest, and I didn't even see a Texas A&M international students in front of me. And I came back, and the world was a different place. So I actually got involved in a business program at A&M to get my master's in accounting. I love to learn, and I love a challenge. But pretty quickly into that, I was feeling like it wasn't a good fit, as I saw it was for my colleagues. And right before going to Dallas for an internship, I went to a conference called Passion 99. And it was there hearing a teacher, John Piper, seeing there were thousands of college students there and seeing their passion during the worship time, hearing some of the teaching about God calling us to live our whole lives for Him, I really was convicted that I wasn't living my whole life for God. It was more of an area of my life. And so after that conference, I cried all the way from Fort Worth to Dallas in the car, which probably wasn't safe, to my internship, and just really felt like, okay, I'm gonna pursue vocational ministry and missions after this internship. And so I dropped out of the accounting program and pursued that, and thanks to my parents, was able later to pursue a master's in biblical studies, which has served me well. Shortly after that conference, about a year later, I took a course at my church in College Station, where I went to school at A&M, called Perspectives on the World Christian Movement. And that also was, that was really formative for me and really opened my eyes. It talks about God's perspective on His heart for the world, kind of the biblical, historical, missiological perspectives on mission work. And through that, or shortly after that, I heard of an opportunity to go to Central Asia in partnership with Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU, here in the U.S., and with my church in College Station, Grace Bible Church. But I'll get to more of what some of the things I've done in a second. So I'll click through a few slides here. So again, I think at the Passion Conference, just realizing, God is most glorified when we're most satisfied in Him. And this idea that the more I pour my life into Him and His purposes, the more I'm going to have joy and He's going to have glory. I think some verses that have really stood out to me as I've read the Bible over the years are the Great Commission, as we even saw this morning in church. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. As well as just Paul's example, his missionary journeys, and his real desire to go where there isn't already work. So Romans 10:14-15, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they then believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. So in that Perspectives course, we learned about some statistics and the need of the world too. And over the years, as I've made decisions, I've heard it said that where our greatest passions and the world's greatest needs meet, that is a great place to serve. And so, some of these statistics really compelled me to go overseas. 86% of unreached peoples live in the 1040 window, which is 10 and 40 degrees latitude of the equator, yet only 10% of missionaries serve there. Of American giving, less than 5% goes to the unreached. And of Protestant missionaries, only 6% work among Muslims, which is the second largest religious bloc behind Christians, about 2 billion people. So one other thing to say, I guess, is a few books, again, John Piper's Desiring God and Don't Waste Your Life have been meaningful for me. So I first landed in Central Asia in summer of 2000. And it was just interesting. I was just going on a summer trip, and there you get off the plane, you like walk down the landing. And before I even stepped on the ground, I really felt this sense of like, I'm coming back here. And so, it's just interesting how God works. In general, of course, there are highs and lows, but I've loved it, and it's been a good fit, and I have not looked back on the decision to leave business and to pursue vocational ministry or missions. So where that has taken me over the years, I joined staff with CRU, or Campus Crusade for Christ, about 17 years ago, initially in partnership with Grace Bible Church, my sending church at Texas A&M. And as I said, dove into learning, went to Dallas Seminary for 2 years, and then I did ministry with college students in Central Asia for about 6 years. So this is Central Asia here on the right. I served in two different countries there, but working with the same people group. Then I was back at Texas A&M for 3 years. So working with college students for about a decade, during that time we took some short-term trips to Korea, to China, some different places in the U.S., working with both the Greek system here in the U.S. as well as doing some church planning type work with pretty low socioeconomic class in Central Asia. And then the last 5 years I've been serving in more of a leadership development human resource capacity for the organization, both at a regional office in Austin, Texas, and at our headquarters in Orlando. So I've moved quite a bit. But I'm single, so the Lord's given me that freedom to pick up and go. During the time with leadership development, I've been involved in training new staff and helping to for the senior staff just to develop and grow, doing some coaching of Bible courses and helping send others. So the current mission work that I'm doing, I'm in Turkey, in the southern part of Turkey, and I really went to be part of this program called Deep Waters. I'll read that in just a second, but it's a combination. I felt like the call to go to Turkey was a combination of this past 5 years of serving in leadership development and human resources, as well as the field ministry that I previously did in Central Asia. So it really utilizes the past experiences as well as the language and culture learning, because the culture and language are still in the Turkic family, so it's quite similar. So we're doing Deep Waters part-time. Deep Waters is a ministry to the first generation believers living in 10 countries in the Middle East and Asia. It's an 11-month program for senior staff with crew. A lot of them get into leadership quickly because they're the first believers in their country and they suffer from burnout or just not having a lot of people invest in them. So this is part of this program is to come alongside them to provide more resources and to give them some care as well as providing this leadership community that they can learn from others that are leading in the same area. We want it to be a growth process, collaborating to find solutions to persistent challenges facing those in ministry throughout Asia. The key verse is put out into deep waters. God will show his power as we act in faith. He is there to help us experience deep transformation. So I won't read that whole paragraph, but we just want the staff to go deeper in their spiritual lives, hence Deep Waters. And we bring in different teachers. There's lectures, there's coaching, there's spiritual direction. They have different, every semester for the whole year, they have a personal and group project for both semesters that they do. We coach them every other week, and they have different assignments every week, so we read 4 books during the year. The program is held in different languages. So this past year we did it in both English, well, in English and translated to Russian and Turkish. But depending on the staff response, we might be doing that in other languages as well. some of the projects that they do are trying to solve real problems that we have in the area, and they present their findings to the leadership team. So they really are doing a ministry as well as working together. What they do is they take one day a week from their regular ministry role, and they step back from that, and this one day a week now is focused on Deep Waters' emphases. So the coaching, the readings, these virtual groups that they collaborate on for their projects. And then for their personal projects, they have to take what they've learned and teach it to others. So it's really exciting. Some of them, go ahead. That's a great question. So they come, one reason that we're based in the southern part of Turkey is because it's called the Turkish Riviera. It's a beautiful place. I'm not suffering for the Lord there. At all. I now have the mountains and the oceans nearby, and I've never lived near either, so it's a real blessing. But this way, the Turks from Istanbul or other cities no one else with our with crew lives in the southern part where we do. And so all the staff that come have a bit of a reprieve. They're in a beautiful location. They come for 6 weeks of the year. So they come for a month. There are three modules, a month in summer, 1 week in January, and 1 week in May. And there's also a counseling center there, so they can get counseling if they want to. Just a place that they can, I mean, we're full on. We have speakers the whole time, and we have life groups and men's and women's times, just kind of similar things that you would do at a conference. But they also have some free time if they, you know, with the kids in the afternoon, they can go to the beach, they can do some fun things. So the other part-time, when we're not doing deep waters, this year we've been doing language, but starting next year we'll do something called Leader Impact, which is just basically trying to reach the young professionals in our city. We do that through English clubs, through Toastmasters, teaching them about public speaking, different coachings or trainings, and then like there's a, like a, it's similar to the purpose-driven life type study, but without scripture. So talking about their mission or purpose in life, and through that, trying to open up spiritual conversations. I'm also a member at a local Turkish church. I'm a partner member there, which means I'm trying to do ministry in and from that fellowship. They're part of the Acts 29 network of churches, if you're familiar with that here in the U.S. The pastor of our church is actually the director in Turkey. And then I attend an international church once a month and actually help me with worship there. This is one of the pastors at the church, and his wife is actually my Turkish tutor. And this is some of the women from church, both foreign and local. And this is an English club in Istanbul with Leader Impact. As you know, Turkey is just chock full of historical, and you know, our Christian foundation was really started there. So this is at an amphitheater, one of the oldest in one of the oldest Roman amphitheaters that today, what most well preserved. It's called Aspendos. Many people come to the southern part of Turkey to go on the seven churches that John spoke to in Revelation tour. So where I live is just south of Ephesus there. It's actually called Antalya, and in the Bible, Paul passes through there. It's called Attalia, and I think it's Acts 14. There are 120,000 people of different Christian denominations in Turkey, representing less than 0.2% of their population of approximately 80 billion, 99.8% Muslim, and Antakya or Antioch over there is said to be the birthplace of Christianity. These are just a few pictures of my city, so you can see that I'm not suffering there at all. It's quite beautiful. I actually live near the beach up there in the corner. And but, you know, people, even though it's more wealthy than Central Asia, people still are, it's hard to find work, and people aren't living, you know, it's still quite lower than the U.S. standard of living. This is some a Turkish breakfast here on the left. This is some Central Asian food, rice and dumplings on the right. What I love about being a part of Deep Waters is just getting to experience a breadth of culture. So this is Turkish culture, Kyrgyz culture, Uzbek, that's Kyrgyz again. But yeah, at our conferences we get to, all 10 countries are represented, so that is really a joy. I meant to include a picture of my mom's trip. My mom came for 5 days to Istanbul. We had a great time. I forgot. This is our life group with Deep Waters on the left, one of the life groups. This is one of my non-believing Turkish girlfriends. These are some young Kyrgyz staff that are serving with us in Kyrgyzstan. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Oh, it's not working. Okay. Got off somehow. Okay. Well, no music. So I think my time is up, but I'll just run through these last slides. There's a a little bit of a slideshow. Go ahead. The biggest challenge for the local staff? The national staff that are coming in? I think that's a great question, Dottie. Well, I think, you know, what they're coming from, serving in a place where they just have needs all around them. A lot of them, their families, no one, they're the first or only believers in their family. And I think, yeah, burnout is a big challenge because they just are constantly feeling pulled in different directions and, you know, just not, I guess, seeing the lack around them, maybe financially, spiritually, emotionally. You know, when you do have Christ, that affects your whole, even emotional well-being, your perspective on just lots of different areas of life. I would say another challenge for them is there's a little bit of a lack of trust between believers even, because they have just not, you know, they don't have that foundation, again, of Christian culture. And so it's not easy for them to trust each other. There's some lack of forgiveness issues. And so those kind of run deep and long. That can affect unity, obviously. Go ahead. It varies by country. Afghanistan is part of our region, so obviously that's, they're, you know, under strict security. Iran is also part of our area. Those staff aren't coming to our program yet. But it's interesting, in Turkey, a lot of the believers are actually, even on Facebook, very upfront with their faith. Sometimes they'll even wear crew shirts around, and we're like, don't do that. But there are probably 250 registered churches in Turkey, so you can have your church registered, and Turks think that it's better to be upfront with faith in their church. That they, there's not really a, like an underground church movement in Turkey, and so I think, like, if many of you heard about the pastor Andrew Brunson that was imprisoned, most people think that was politically motivated, and so... But it's interesting. I think the persecution more is family and cultural rather than, like, you know, a legal political issue. So you can have registered churches. Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I said yes pretty quickly and haven't. I need to be doing... I have a few books about Turkey on my shelf, but I haven't gotten through them yet. You know, you launch somewhere, and it's like all of a sudden you have two lives you're keeping up with, and I have felt like we're just keeping above water. My team in this program, we're just two and a half of us, really, me and a couple, but she homeschools her son, or she's at home with her son part-time. But you will, I do read that Erdogan is moving towards, I mean, for a long time, Turkey was more secular in their government, but he's moving toward, and the hijab, the covering was even banned from universities and different things, but he's feeling like Turkey's lost their morality, and so he's putting that back into play. Some of those religious laws are kind of being enforced more. Maybe the intentions are good, I'm not sure, but he does have a lot of power, and things are changing in Turkey. Yeah. You probably know more than I do, Charlie. I'm sure of that. So I'm not sure that this is my platform to speak from authority with. But, yeah, you know, the guy, Ataturk, the man that really that was part of the Turkey becoming a republic, I mean, he is just, he's everywhere and, I mean, really revered, and so he probably wants some of that same, I guess, power. Yeah, I don't know. Charlie, you have to speak into that more than I. Yes, ma'am. Antalya is known to be one of the safest cities. I haven't looked into it, but one of my American friends that moved there, they were planning to start their family there, and apparently it's very safe statistically. I don't feel threatened at all. It's kind of a sleepy tourist city, really. In the summer it grows probably 3 times, but a lot of Europeans and Russians come there to vacation or even to live. So it's quite international, and for that reason we're there too. A lot of other mission groups host their conferences and things there because you just fly under the radar because it is such a tourist city. I think the same is true for Istanbul and several cities in Turkey. It gets more difficult in the east, especially close to Syria. I don't have a particular timetable. At least 2-3 years, I don't think it's worth moving somewhere without, but I don't have, I wanted to help launch this. They needed a team of 3 to go, and I felt like it was a great fit for my past experiences and gifts. So was there another question? I want to be cognizant of the next of time. So let me flip through these last pictures, and without music, it won't be quite as interesting, but you can just see. This is just from our program this summer. We do like a little scavenger hunt to introduce them to the city. There were 11 participants from 3 different countries. Most of them are serving at a national level in their countries. That's a beautiful waterfall in the country. So thank you so much for your time. And please help yourself to some Turkish Delight. Grab a little spring update for Deep Waters. And thanks again.